So you flew in a circle?
Yes, sir.
And you try to fly what, perfect circles?
Yeah, well, we put the pipper on the target, and we could hold it just like flying around a pylon. It's like we learned in basic flying. You know, if the wind was not too strong, we could stay right on target. In fact, we could shoot all the way around. If it was real strong, only the downwind side is where we could hold the target without drifting over it. So
at 3,000 feet, how dangerous to be flying around the target instead of zooming on by the target?
Well, anybody out here duck hunters? How long does it take to figure out the firing geometry if you got a duck flying around your pond in a circle? I mean, you're going to figure it out sooner or later. You're going to get that duck. Well, they did try flying the airplane in the daytime right in the beginning, and they had some high-ranking people flying it too. And they shot down three of them in one day, I believe it was, to start with. It just was too dangerous to fly in the daytime.
Right.
But the need for the airplane was nighttime. Remember I said they needed night cover. So the way they arranged it, we would have – each squadron had two sorties a night, or each flight, I'm sorry. And Spooky 4-1 would take off at dusk, and fly till midnight. Spooky 4-2 would fly from midnight till daylight. And we were always up there and ready to be called any time for a target. Mm-hmm. So that's how we covered it. But to answer your question, night flying, we had good protection, actually, because they were looking up into the dark. Look at the bottom of this airplane. It's pretty dark, you know. And we had this 2 million candle power flare coming down, and a lot of smoke from the flare, which interrupted our vision too some. And we also had the cover of darkness. Well, if they started trying to find us by sound, I'd put the engines out of sync, the props, and they go wah, 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 like that. Mm-hmm. And they would think we were anywhere up there. And if it got real bad, we'd turn the lights out. We'd turn our rotating beacon off and our position lights. That put us vulnerable to other airplanes running into us, but it depended on how bad it was at the time.
Right. Some of the missions that I've read about in your books. He's written three wonderful books, by the way, about all of this in his career, which you'll be signing later over in the bookstore.
Yes, sir.
Describe some of these missions. Not Trang, a trapped riverboat. What was that all about?
Well, that was the best mission. I'd like to save it for last. Remember what it leads to? It'll lead to something really great that happened. So I'll mention that one last, if it's okay.
Oh, okay. Go to TIC.
Troops in Command in Contact.
Right. Camp was overrun. What was that?
Okay, this was about, let me think if I can remember. I got there in May, and it was toward the end of the tour in the gunship, but the Duck Lop and Bu Prang were two special forces camps. They were way over on the Mekong River, right on the Cambodian-Laotian border area, and there was a place called the Parrot Beak. Well, Duck Lop was South Vietnam Special Forces Camp, and we were assigned to go over there and work their area. Well, when we got there, we found out we were going to a Troops in Contact, which means they were being attacked by the enemy. So we hooked up with the guy that was an American on the ground talking to us, and he said, "Spooky, they're all over the camp. We're bunkered in. We want you to put your fire right on the camp." I made him verify it three times. He said, "Enough verification. Do it now, Spooky. They're overrunning us." So I called for three guns, full hot, and we got clearance, and everything was fine. Three guns at fast rate, and I rolled in, and I doubt if I fired more than 10 or 15 seconds. And the guy left his microphone keyed, and I could hear the bullets hitting the top of the bunker and all that mess going on up there. And in about 15 seconds, he said, "You can stop firing, Spooky. It's quiet up there now." So that ended that right there. And I would like to say right now that, like the Red Tails, who did such a wonderful job, the one thing I'm proudest of is Spooky, and this is in the record book, Spooky never lost an outpost or a unit that was under attack where Spooky came to get him out of trouble. And I'll say it again, I'll say it three or four times today, but the sweetest thing I ever heard coming home from Vietnam was these guys saying, "You flew Spooky, I'm going to buy you a beer. Because of Spooky, I made it home."
What's the sniper story?
That was the sniper story. This is wonderful. This is so ironic. He's probably heard about it. We went back over to the Parrot Beach area. That was a hot area. Oh, I meant to tell you, that mission was recognized by the South Vietnamese people, and the entire crew got the Vietnam Cross of Gallantry with the Silver Star for that mission, for saving that.
Wow.
And I was proud of those guys for that. They did a good job. Now, the sniper. We were over there one night, and it was quiet. We just arrived on the scene, and we said, "What's going on down there tonight?" And they said, "Well, everything's pretty quiet, except we got this one sniper up in a tree, and he's just harassing us. He shoots anything that moves in the camp." I said, "Well, that ought to be easy. You don't have but about 3 or 4 million square miles of jungle out here to find him in." And he said, "Well, we think he's over here by this." You know, he gave us some good points to kind of identify at least a broad area where the guy might be. I said, "Well, we can bother him anyway." So I said, let's check the guns just a second. I rolled in about like this, like that. I'd probably not 50 rounds, half a second. And the guy said, "You can stop firing, Spooky. He fell out of the tree." I said, "Well, I either hit him or scared him so bad, you know." That stopped that.
What about Cameron Bay, where you saw VC and they were, were they doing?
Oh, Lord. This is where it gets not fun to talk about, because rules of engagement. Our rules of engagement stated that we had to go connect with a direct air support center to get clearance to fire on any target before we fired on the target. Mm-hmm. So one night we're doing this airborne alert at airborne camp. If you know your Vietnam geography, Nha Trang, which looks like the French Riviera of Vietnam, it was gorgeous, is up here on the China Sea coast. Then there's there's Cameron Bay, and then Phan Rang. Well, Cameron is probably 20 miles south of Nha Trang. And we were flying our airborne cap, and we just happened to be over Cameron. And we looked down on the beach, and we saw some flashes. And then we looked into Cameron Bay Airport, and they were getting explosions. And I called the tower, and I said, "Are you under attack?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I think we got these guys right on the beach. We could see them scrambling around down there." I said, "Get us clearance to fire. We got them dead to rights, you know." Actually, it was Bob Davidson was flying the airplane. I was a co-pilot that night. I was liking to take credit for that, but I can't. But anyway, we had these guys. It would have taken 1 second to eliminate that. Well, we didn't get clearance to fire until 30 minutes later. And during that 30 minutes, these guys had put a lot of mortars on the base, ran through the hospital, and threw satchel charges under a bunch of beds and killed a bunch of people that were wounded in the hospital. Well, Colonel Davidson, who's been there, he was in his third consecutive year as a 767. Gosh, I had a flashback. A Delta flashback during a Vietnam conversation. That's pretty interesting. But Colonel Davidson, he was livid. I mean, he was ready to land. He said, "This is crazy." But anyway, that was the bad thing about that mission. We never got clearance to fire. We didn't get to do anything about that.
Who was this Colonel Davidson?
Colonel Bob Davidson. I would say, you know, he seemed ancient to me. I was just a young captain, but he was probably 42, 43 years old maybe. And he was an aggressive pilot. He loved flying the AC-47, so much so that he re-upped three times in Vietnam. Well, he extended twice. He was in his third year, and probably that man probably fired more ammunition than anybody that's ever flown in any war. I mean, if you're shooting 63,000 rounds a night, you know, sometimes. But he was a legend. They called him Death Valley Dave. And, oh, boy.
Did you have a nickname?
Yeah, I got one later on.
Is there anything you want to talk about? Or
not right now. We'll talk about it when we talk about the gunboat mission.
Nutrang?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Well, so go to that then. Yeah, go to Nutrang.
You ready for that one?
Yes, sir.
Okay.